Colossians 1, 3 through 7, these are God's words. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, and the word of the truth of the gospel which has come to you, as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ in your behalf, who also has declared to us your love in the Spirit. And we'll go ahead and include verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, in which we learn that believers give thanks for one another, that believers are interested in one another, that believers pray for one another, and that believers labor to serve one another. First, believers give thanks for one another. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, etc. Why give thanks for one another? Well, because in the first place, he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. This faith was not something they produced by an exercise of their wills. Surely they chose to trust in Christ, to rest in Christ, to belong to Christ, to love him. And yet it was God who gave the grace by which they were enabled and made to choose. And so we give thanks for them because they believe God is the author of one another's faith. So when we know other believers, we see people in whom God has done a marvelous work. And when God does a marvelous work, the right response to God is to be thankful. It is a big part of our fellowship that we would be thankful for one another. It helps us to develop that love which covers over a multitude of sins. Speaking of love, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Now, it's one thing if someone loves some of the saints who are like them, and yet Jesus basically says about that in Matthew chapter 5, don't the Gentiles do that? Love those who love them? Are you any better than tax collectors when you do that? And it's not just many of the saints, where I'm pretty good with Christians, there are some of them. No. They love all the saints. Why? Well, if they love all the saints, it's because they're saints. And so that thankfulness that Paul and Timothy with him expresses to God for them is something they also have learned to express to God for others. They've recognized that a believer is holy and set apart to God. And so not only someone in whom God has done a gracious work, but someone to whom God has joined himself, someone with whom God has associated himself. Now, there are situations in people's social circles where someone is sort of an outcast, and then the one who is the most well-liked and maybe something of a leader in the social circle decides that they are going to bring the outcast along as one of them, as someone who is their friend, and suddenly everybody is kind of okay with the outcast, at least for the leader's sake or for the popular one's sake. Well, this helps us in how we think, even of incredibly professing people who are often not acting like believers. If we have reason for rebuke or charges or whatever, we can start by coming to them privately, follow Matthew 18, etc., and maybe they'll be exposed. But if there really isn't anything chargeable per se, just very partially sanctified. Then one of the things that we can do is we could say, this is a baptized member of the church, which means God has put his sign upon them and associated himself with them and called them holy, like he calls the children of believers holy in 1 Corinthians 7, and treats them as if both parents were believers, even if just one parent is a believer. And so God, we are to not despise them for the sake of one unbelieving parent. Well, if the Lord has set someone apart as holy and called them saint, been willing to identify himself with them, then we can love them, then we can be thankful for them. And if it turns out that their inward spiritual condition does not match their external condition, yet God was pleased to associate himself with them for a time, and we are to love them. If one of the apostles somehow could have known that Judas was reprobate, he still would not have had good cause to treat Judas poorly or differently. Jesus himself washed Judas' feet. Jesus himself served Judas the supper before Judas went and did what he did. And so they love all the saints. So the apostle is thankful for them because of their faith and because of their love and because of their hope. These three things that remain, faith, hope, and love, that belong to all believers. So verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So we give thanks for believers. We pray for believers, he says, praying always for you in verse 3. And we picked up verse 9 to open that up a little bit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with all, be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we pray for one another. We don't just give thanks for one another. Why? Because believers in this world still have work to do, and especially to have done in them. And so if we love one another, if we give thanks for one another, we need to pray for one another. God is still doing. He has begun a gracious work, and so we thank God for that part. But he is going to complete that gracious work in the day of Christ Jesus. He, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it or to perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. And so we respond to the beginning with thankfulness and what he's done so far with thankfulness. And we respond to God's continuing work in one another in prayer. So we give thanks and we pray. And therefore, if we're praying, we want to hear about one another. We're remembering what has happened before, which you heard before in the word of the truth, which of the gospel. They're thinking about what is happening in them now, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ in your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And so they remember, Paul and Timothy remember the work that was done in Colossae while they were there, but they're interested in the ongoing work. They wanted to know from Epaphras, do they continue in the grace in which they began? And Epaphras said, yes, they do love all the saints. And it is love as the Spirit describes love. We all should care about how one another are doing, want to hear from one another. So we give thanks for one another, we pray for one another, we want to hear about one another, so we inquire about one another. and we serve one another. Not only may we participate in the work of God by praying, but he's given each of us a role. That role might just be praying and not forsaking the assembly and attending well upon the means of grace for ourselves, both in public and in the home, so that we are growing, which is an encouragement to other believers. Shunning worldliness in ourselves so that we don't become an occasion by which our brothers and sisters are bogged down and made spiritually sluggish in worldliness. Being careful about the things that we talk about, wanting to talk in such a way that will help others grow in Christ, etc. And then there are those who have other roles, parents with their children, for instance, elders in the church. And not only, therefore, did Paul and Timothy proclaim to them the truth of the gospel as he was talking about in verse 5, not only did Epaphras continue teaching them the gospel, as it says in verse 7, but this letter itself is a service of the apostle, writing to them words, and here inspired words, that the Spirit will use to grow them in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And so we want to build one another up, not just hear of them and give thanks for them and pray for them, but to be careful in our own lives and in our interactions with them, that we act in such a way that participates in this work of grace that God has begun. And note, the apostle doesn't just give thanks to God. He tells them that he gives thanks to God for them. That encouragement is a big part of what he is doing here. It's good for us to tell one another, you know, I thank God for you. That's very apostolic. I should probably do it more with my dear wife and my dear children and my whole congregation. But that's one of the reasons that we read the Bible. The Lord uses it to remind us and even to work in us, because it's a means of his grace. So let's ask him to do that work. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this portion of your word in which you show us how believers relate to one another and build one another up. Give us thankfulness to you. Give us an eye towards that work which you do in our brothers and sisters. Make us thankful for what we see. Give us that confidence that you are still working and will complete it. Then grant to us, therefore, to be prayerful for what you are still doing and continue to do. Pray that you would give us love for all the saints, precisely because you have set them apart to yourself. Grant to us to see them as joined to you, so that we might love them for your sake, and help us to live in such a way that not only honors you, but seeing how you love and are zealous for your work in those whom you are saving, help us to live in a way that loves them and serves them and builds them up in the faith as well. Grant your Spirit's blessing upon your word. Use this portion of it to conform us to Christ. In whose name we ask it. Amen.